Welcome, everybody. Can we have Doc Larson lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This takes us down to item 2, approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion that we approve the agenda.
I'll second.
Motion made by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Cordero. Is there any dissent? Agenda's approved. This takes us down to item 3, persons to be heard on non-agenda items. And I will quickly read the rules governing this section. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and be given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent and designated or take the issue under advisement, maximum of 1 hour per meeting. Are there any individuals, Madam Clerk, that have signed up to speak at this time?
We have Brenda Winder.
Could you please come forward, state your name for the record?
Brenda Winder.
Can you and also please talk into the mic and you can take a seat. And thank you.
Again, Brenda Winder.
Okay, and you may begin.
Okay, just two quick things. One, you guys cut out PE somehow or another in most of the elementary schools, and I think we need to relook that and find a way to put that back in for those children. We eat lunch in the classrooms. We do everything in the classrooms. We don't move a whole lot outside of the building. This is Alaska. These kids need to get up and move around, and I don't think cutting PE is or was the greatest choice, at least personally for my little guy. And the other thing that I listed was the 7 periods for the high schools. I don't care how many periods there are, but I've noticed that Colony High School, where my daughter attends, she, by the end of the day, a couple of her teachers are exhausted, and I think she's losing out in a couple of the end-of-the-day classes because the teachers have so many students in their room. Do you know that there's some students up to 40. They're teaching 40 kids. Can you imagine reading 40 English essays 3 times? So are you telling me the quality of what she's getting in high school is going to be as good as it was as even last year's kids got? They have too many kids. We have over 150 junior and senior student aides because there's nowhere to put them. So they signed them up for student aids. Probably all the parents don't know this, but that's too many kids being out there, wandering in the halls, getting in trouble, hanging out where they shouldn't be. 150 students that could be getting some other credit in some class that puts them onto the college track. My daughter's just a freshman. I don't have an issue with that, and I stay where we need to be so I know what's going on with her classes, but if she's not getting the good education like even the kids did a year ago, I don't think that's fair to her or any of the other students. We need to figure out, if you guys want 7 periods, that's fine, but you need to plug some more teachers in somewhere to eliminate that many students in one classroom. I don't know how I wouldn't want to do it as a teacher. I wouldn't, you know, I've heard several teachers say, well, I'll just cut back on as essays. I'll do less essays this year. I'm going to teach chemistry, but it won't be as much hands-on because I have too many students. I don't know if y'all have kids in the school, but that's not the school I want. I want the best so she can have the best. That's all I got.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that has not signed up that would like to come up and speak? Seeing none? Thank you. This takes us down to item four, borough and city reports. Superintendent Palermo, are there any borough and city reports at this time?
No, Mr. President.
Thank you. This takes us down to item five, administrative reports. Superintendent Palermo, is there an administrative report?
No, Mr. President.
This takes us down to item six, superintendent updates, student advisory report. Dr. Palermo.
I would like to defer to our student member first, if that's allowable.
Welcome back, Member Vail.
The Student Advisory Board had their first meeting held at Westfield High School on August 31st. We had Catherine Ezra and Dr. Palermo in attendance for the first part of our meeting. Dr. Palermo answered questions on the seven-period day, ways our district has grown in the past with test scores, technology, population increase in our schools, and her vision for our school district, which includes innovation, choice, and customer service and giving the students the best. Most importantly, her ultimate goal is having the best students in the district. Our goals for Student Advisory Board: Leadership Conference in February, District-wide Red Ribbon Week, Homeless Project, which includes hygiene products for homeless teens in our district, a foreign language survey, maintenance in the schools, and most importantly, creating student leaders all around that are enthused and engaged. Our next Student Advisory Board meeting is September 21st at Sioux Valley High School at 9 a.m.
Thank you. Dr. Palermo?
Thank you. I just would like to mention that the school year is off to a great start. The staff participated, all staff, which is over 2,200 members and employees, if you will, as well as five board members were able to attend. Personally, the in-service provided on Friday. It was, I thought, received well. Our teachers' morale was certainly at its height that day. They enjoyed being with each other, showed their school spirit by presenting their pride in each of their schools, which was just phenomenal. We will have a video so that each of you can keep that. But again, repeat what our student advisory board member did say is that we're looking at innovation, and we didn't target that just with technology, but innovation in the manners in which we can offer kids an education, choice for kids and parents, as well as customer service. Even given all of the changes that we had this year, and we've mentioned several of them from the time changes, seven-period day, reduction in staff, It was a great start, and I just felt the energy in the room. Just to repeat that I am working with student advisory groups, some focus groups, and they provided a lot of feedback on the seven-period day as well as some teachers. And the team and I just remind our staff that the seven-period day did not happen out of the blue. It was actually a result and a problem-solving effort as we reduced 90 teachers in the district due to a fiscal responsibility and a shortfall in funding. So we are this year 90 teachers less than last year, and operating with as many programs as we possibly can for kids. And so, therefore, we moved to the seven-period day. Some of the issues, as you may have heard, for teachers, some of the teachers have said, I've worked the hardest I've ever worked. I'm really tired by the end of the day because of the quick schedule. Remember, we're not doing seven periods every day. It is a rotation as we've done in the past. And the kids really miss in the schools they had an advisory time. And in hindsight, they're saying, well, you know, some of the advisory time I was able to go make up a test, and I was able to go get my homework for a day I missed. And so the instruction department is working with the feedback from students at the high schools as well as the teachers of the high schools to see what we can do. The teachers in the middle schools have always taught seven periods, and so it's not that big of a change having another class, but certainly it was the biggest change for our high school teachers. We're going to look for the best in any situation and see what we can do for our children, but we wanted to be sure that the course offerings remained at our high schools. Enrollment, I'd like to share the exact numbers on enrollment. And I do have them. We are 1.25% under projection right now. And remember, our projection was 400 more students than last year. So already with that number, we're on target. Last year at this very date, the second board meeting of the year, we were about 3% under. So we are moving in fast. Please know that 1.24% or 1.25% is equivalent to 216 students in our district. I'd like you to know the areas in which those students are under. We are looking at being under 50 students in our charter schools to where we were projected. We are looking at 96 students under in Mat-Su Central School, but please don't let that alarm you because at this year, this time last year, we were over 200 under. And in all other schools outside of Mat-Su Central and the charter schools, we're about 60 students under projection. The work that you did with boundaries certainly did pay off. I'd like you to know that Wasilla Middle School is down 43 students and Houston Middle School is up 40 students. It's not as significant at the high school level, which we had anticipated, allowing students to remain at their schools. But in speaking to Principal Ms. Spargo, she did say that they did have quite a few students leave to go to Houston. Houston High School is up 35 students, so we do know that they did attract more. But Wasilla High School is also up over 50 students. In speaking with the principal, she did say that the senior class at this time is as large as their freshman class, which is very hasn't happened. That is not a common occurrence, and she believes that the programs that we have in place to recapture students, such as Advanced Path and other things that they're working within the school, are really keeping the students in school. So we'll see how that trend goes, but the senior class at Wasilla is as large as the freshman class, and again, trends don't show us that that actually happens often. So those are some good numbers. Again, we work with highly effective teachers that are highly motivated to do well. I'm quite impressed with the start. And on a special note, we did have a ribbon cutting ceremony this morning for the Houston High School turnaround. That was a project that we worked in-house with our own maintenance department supervising, and that is basically for safety for students to pass between both schools and to forward the resource sharing. It was really kind of two separate parking lots in a danger zone for students sometimes to walk back and forth. There's a nice path, a bus turnaround, so students at the high school go to the welding lab at the middle school, and students from the middle school now have access to the high school in a safe manner. So we're moving along, and I just appreciate the work that's been done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any questions for members of the board for our superintendent and our advisory school board member? Seeing none, this takes us down to the consent agenda, item 7. Is there a motion to move the consent agenda?
I move the consent agenda A, minutes August 17, 2011, B, 12-022, recommendation for certified new hires, and C, 12-023, recommendation for retired rehire.
I'll second it.
Motion was made by Member Cordero and seconded by Member Lacey. Let's vote. Motion passes. Consent agenda passes. This takes us down to item 8, action items. A, 12-014, second reading, BP 3270, sale and disposal of books, equipment, and supplies. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this issue? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
We are ready to answer questions if needed.
Are there any questions for members of the board regarding this item? Seeing none, is there a motion to move this item?
I move A, 12-014, second reading, board policy 3270, sale and disposal of books, equipment, and supplies.
I'll second it.
Seconded by member, a motion made by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Powager. All motions on the floor. Any comments? Okay, let us vote. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item B, 12-021, second reading, BP 5142.2, return to play. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this issue? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
My name is Daniel W. Larson, D.C. I'm a chiropractor. I run Larson Chiropractic. Is everyone on the board familiar with my role in the community and those who work with me pretty much?
We are, but you're live on the radio, so there may be members of the public
okay.
that...
Many years ago, I started to volunteer at the various high school sports from pertaining to all of the sports, basically. And over the years, I've hired additional employees, other doctors, athletic trainers, and we all volunteer our time at each of the individual high schools in the Valley. Through all this, we have been involved with Mr. McPhail in forming helping the district to form its policy in regards to concussions. As you know, the state passed a law this last August. Well, it was passed during the summer, but it became in effect in August. And that law basically states that any athlete who is participating in a high school sport who is suspected of concussion must be removed from the contest and cannot return to play until they have been evaluated, examined by a healthcare provider who is certified and qualified in the treatment and care of concussions, which is a wonderful law. It's been very successful. I appreciate Mr. McPhail's involvement in it, in the whole process. He takes it rather personally because he's had one of his children with a concussion and understands very clearly the impact that has on a young person's life. As the state passed this law, I don't think that they had a lot of foresight in regards to the certified, qualified healthcare provider. Because there is no certification nor qualification process within our state as of yet. We addressed this with ASA, and all of you know who ASA is. They are governed by another organization called the National Federation of High Schools. The National Federation of High Schools has certain guidelines that pertain to an athlete who has been concussed on their return to play. ASA has adapted some similar guidelines, but they're different in every district. I've spent considerable time corresponding with Dr. Kerry Keller, who is the chairman of the Medical Advisory Board to ASA, and we have worked together to try to form an appropriate guideline for students to return. The problem that I see as a physician is that not all of the healthcare providers within our community understand the step-by-step process that a concussed person must go through to be able to return to play safely. So with Mr. McPhail, we have developed a set of guidelines that we have used in our office, not just this year, but we began using them about a year and a half ago. They have been modified as new information comes from the world experts about concussion. The district has purchased the IMPACT program, which gives you a great baseline for neurocognitive evaluation, and I commend you for doing that. It must be combined with the physical aspect of the examination, because we have had some students who passed the IMPACT program just fine, but physically were not ready to be back on the field playing football because of lingering symptoms that they had. So it's a team or a combination of the two that must be done. So the dilemma comes from uninformed healthcare providers who just go ahead and, should I quit? I'll go quick.
Okay.
All right. The problem becomes the uninformed healthcare provider who simply writes a note that says Jimmy can go back into contact. And Jimmy has not gone through a step-by-step process, which I will hand out to you so that you can see. And it requires daily supervision by a healthcare provider. It can't be just a note. Can't be a mom saying, oh, they're fine. And so when I'm on the field and I deal with a student that comes back and says I was cleared for my concussion, I don't have any information that says that. So I would encourage you to look at the information that I provided to see if that makes sense to you. I know if I had a concussed child of my own, that I would want them to go through the step-by-step process, that it would be totally inappropriate to do anything else. There's also a removal from activity form, which we fill out on each student that is suspected of concussion, and it's given to the parent personally. I believe that should be adopted throughout the school district as well. That's all I have.
Thank you.
You bet.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak upon this issue? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
We are prepared for questions if necessary.
Are there members of the board? Member Welton?
Under what we've just heard, the information that Ms. Dr. Larson has provided, would that fall under an AR and not the board policy?
Mr. President?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. The details will fall under the AR.
So it would not be, it would not inhibit us from voting on this passage of this tonight?
No.
Okay, thank you.
And the BP is in line with the state regulation, and we will conduct the AR according to MATSU.
Thank you.
Member Lacey.
Yes, as an example here, let's say that Member Welton is playing football in the first part of the season and she gets a brain concussion. She's cleared to go back to playing. She gets nailed again the very next game, and she has, let's say, three or four brain concussions. Do we have a policy that says you can only get one or two in the season before you're taken out because this is a progressive thing?
Through the president, actually the AR and the actual program doesn't allow for you to be returned to play to get another concussion on top of another. It actually specifies your physical well-being as well as your mental well-being to be fit to play. And so it's very strict to go back. So the only way that you would be able to go back if you had that release and those assessments completed.
Yes.
Yes, and I understand that. But let's say she's been totally cleared, good to go, and she gets nailed again and gets another brain concussion in the very next game. Do we have a protocol for you can only allow one in a season, or because this is a progressive thing? Am I not correct in that?
Mr. McPhail, if you could speak to the specifics.
To the board. Again, once the child receives a concussion, you cannot return back to play. You have to go to your health care provider. They're the ones that will be the ones that clear you. If you end up with a second concussion, what I would probably say is that they would not be back for the rest of the, you know, the season or so.
Thank you. Member Larson.
Yeah, to follow up on that subject that Mr. Lacey brought up, I remember a million years ago when I played sports, we had a kid that got a concussion and came back and got a second concussion, and they pulled him out for the rest of the season, the doctors did, even back in those days. And I guess I'm getting to emphasize yours, a second concussion, would they run through this protocol and then be found okay to come back again? And I'm all for voting for this, but it virtually doesn't say anything about the protocol. All it says is a health care provider who licenses in the state or exempt from license. You know, all it says is, hey, I need a note. You know, it doesn't say all.
Through the president? The administrative regulation is being designed currently with the assistance of community members like Doc Larson, LeBron McPhail, and the experts, and you will see that we will have that out. What we wanted to do was to get it into BP, board policy, so that it isn't just a whim or a coach could do it and another coach couldn't. It is in board policy, which means we will follow board policy.
Any other questions from members of the board regarding this issue?
I would like to ask Mr. McHale,
yes,
what his opinion about the second concussion is during the season. I mean, are you guys addressing that or looking at that?
Oh, yes. Again, we do have Doc Kroll, who is also a part of the impact piece here. So when she sees the evaluation of what has happened, she makes her baseline assessment also.
Thank you.
Any other questions for members of the board for staff? Thank you. Is there a motion to move this item?
I move 12-021, second reading, board policy 5142.2, return to play.
Second.
Motion made by Member Cordero, second by Member Larson. Are there any comments from members of the board?
Yeah.
Yes, Member Larson.
Do we have a estimated time when this is going to come back in front of us?
Through the President, the administrative regulation would not come back in front of you, but we certainly can show it to you. We are currently operating with these procedures at all of our sites and through the impact survey, so we can present it back to you.
Can you send it to us in a reading file?
Absolutely.
That'd be fine.
Okay. So any more comments from members of the board? Motion's on the floor. Let us vote. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item C, 12-026, AASB Board of Directors nomination. This is a nomination for members of the board that are members of the Alaska Association of Alaska School Boards. They are asking school boards to nominate members to be potentially part of the Board of Directors. Currently, I, as a member of this board, sit on the board of directors. I filled out a term for a board member from Anchorage who had termed out. But again, they're asking for nominations, and this is the time of the year to do that. Dr. Perarmo can kind of lead us through this in terms of fielding anyone that is nominated by the board. If there's more than one nomination, we can go through a voting process. Dr. Perarmo.
To the Matsuboro School Board at this time, I'd like to open the floor for nominations for the AASB Board of Directors seat.
I nominate Mr. Michael Dunleavy to remain on that seat.
We have a nomination of President Dunleavy. Is there, and a second? Are there any other nominations? At this point in time, Mr. President, you have been nominated and seconded, and I believe there aren't any other nominations, and so we could forward your name.
Thank you. I accept. We can actually take a vote on this. Are there any questions for staff or... So since this is an action item, let's go ahead and vote. Voting is unanimous. Item passes. Thank you. This takes us down to item D, 12-028, Matsu Health Foundation Target Wellness Grant. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
We are prepared to answer any additional questions you might have that were not answered in the memo.
Are there any questions for members of the public members of the board regarding this item? Member Welton.
Do they already have a person already selected to be the life coach, things like that going on?
Through the president? No, not at this time.
But they have had a life coach in the past.
They have. And this one is a specific purpose for focusing on teen pregnancy and mothers.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other board members have questions for staff? Seeing none, is there a motion to move this item?
I move item 12-028, the Matsu Health Foundation Target Wellness Grant.
Is there a second? Excuse me. Motion moved by Member Welton, seconded by Member Larson. Are there any comments from members of the board? Seeing none, let's vote. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down now to item 9, which is non-action items. A, 12-025, first reading, BP 9310, policy manual. Dr. Perarmo?
We would just request to bring our systems up to the sign of the times and use an electronic manual specifically, as we do keep that updated daily.
Are there any questions from members of the board? Member Larson.
You want our old manuals back?
No, sir. You may certainly keep that manual, but...
I don't want to keep that
manual. Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes, I'm sorry. Member Cordero.
I know that it is available on HTML format on the website, but is there is the whole manual available in one file on a PDF?
At this time, no. Okay. I don't think it's in one.
Will it be available that way eventually?
We can. Okay. We can do that. It's kind of large. So
it is, but. Or maybe, you know, break it down into sections, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we will have a place available in all schools where if our community members or parents or students request, we will certainly make copies.
I think it would be easier if I wanted to download the manual rather than have to click link by link by link by link. It would just be easier, in my opinion.
Right.
Mr. Forrest.
Yeah, the issue is it would be so large you would not be able to download it.
Okay. How large are we talking? How many megabytes are we talking about?
Our limit within our system is 10 meg, and it would significantly increase that size. So what we are bringing up, as we've mentioned to the board before, is a SharePoint site, in which case we will have more capability to allow people to click on certain parts. So just as you've given us the goal of going paperless for your operations, we will add that to the list and make that one of the objectives so that as we move, that bring that site up and we move the board to a totally electronic environment, we'll make that available.
May I ask one follow-up?
Yes.
So you're talking about a limit of 10 megabytes for a file. Is this because you guys use a custom-made content management program, and that's the limit per file?
No?
It's set. It's a limit that is set because of our use by 2,200 employees.
I see. Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
What the SharePoint site will allow is you can download without having those restrictions.
Okay. Thank you.
Member Welton?
Yes. I was just going to make a comment that if you download it, you don't get the updates all the time. And so that would be the reason to go to the site to get it at each time you want to look at it. That, to me, makes sense.
Any other questions or comments from members of the board? I've got a question, and I may have a comment. Is there still going to be at least one paper manual at the sites for folks that don't necessarily or don't feel computer savvy or...
Yes, I can. The schools will no longer house a site due to that same reason as it changes, and then sometimes we miss the updates and we have to go back to the computer anyway. However, each site will be responsive to the needs of their communities, their students, their stakeholders to print the section needed, to have a computer available for community members to access the board policy. And we will keep a paper copy updated at the district office.
Okay, thank you. And the comment is, it's a large manual. It's just a thought. I think we may have talked about this a little bit in our retreat, but I'll save the comment for some other time. Thank you. It's okay. This takes us down to, this will come to us for an action item at the next meeting. Okay, this takes us down to item B, 12-027 Matthews Central School Course Materials Approval, a staff report.
This request is perfunctory, if you will, in the state law regulating homeschool. All course materials as well as curriculum must be approved by the local sponsoring board, which is, for our Matsu Central School, Matsu School Board.
Thank you. Are there any questions for members of the board, for staff? Any comments? Okay, this item will come as it... in the next meeting as an action item. This takes us to item 10, work session ASB resolutions. I'm going to ask for just a 5-minute recess, and then we'll get prepared for the work session.
sure I'll go to the game. Just send me an email tomorrow.
Okay. We're going to start. We've got a quorum here. Just a couple of housekeeping items as we're getting back to our seats. And just a reminder, during the summer we had a retreat, and part of that retreat we agreed as a board to have our student reps weigh in on these items with an actual vote, an advisory vote. And so I've talked to Mr. Jensen, who works with him and is an advisor, and I've talked with Kendra, and our other advisor, Delaney, will be informed as well that at the next meeting, when they come in, they want to be prepared to review to have reviewed the items, and then we'll ask them to weigh in. And we'll ask them to vote first. Obviously, our board does not have a spot, unfortunately, for board on the wall, I'm referring to. Does not have a spot for our folks to electronically vote in terms of the student rep. However, we'll ask them to do a voice vote. They'll lead off, and then we'll go ahead and we'll do our vote as well. Yes, sir. Mr. Forrest.
When we make the modifications we've mentioned, the new software will accommodate that and it be automatically included.
Good. And I do want to emphasize, the board really does want to hear what the students think through the representative on these items that come before us. So we look forward to that that process happening. So now we're in a work session, part of our school board meeting, and we will be going over ASB resolutions. And for folks in the audience that are listening, this is Alaska Association of Alaska School Boards. This is the organization that our school board and other school boards in the state belong to. And they have a resolution process in which items that are concerned to school boards across the state and oftentimes across the nation come before the groups and allow the school boards to weigh in on those resolutions. And that's what we're going to be doing here in a little while, is having a discussion on some of these resolutions. And then the next process, next board meeting, will be for us to actually act on these resolutions and send to ASB, as all the other school boards will as well, our feelings and our positions on these resolutions. So at this point, I'm going to turn the work session. I'm sorry, Member Welton.
Just wanted to say for members who did not bring their AASB board packet, the resolutions, I have copies of just the pages that are the ones that we talked about, if somebody needs copies. But they aren't clean copies. I've got my notes on them. It was the only copy I had, and I copied those today. Is there anybody who needs a copy? Anybody else?
Right, so at this point, I'm going to turn this over to the members of the committee. And the members of the committee were Member Welton, Member Gaddis, Member Powger. And did you you had a chair, correct? Member Gaddis, did you chair the meeting?
I'm not sure if we actually formally chaired. It was pretty, but I'd be glad to start it out.
So I'm going to turn this over to the members of the committee.
Susan, Sarah, and I met, and we spent a couple hours going through this thick packet of resolutions. And there are some things in these resolutions that really didn't make a difference one way or the other. And we chose not to really pull any of those. We know that some of them won't be looked at. And what we did is we pulled some of them, some we wanted to speak about, and some we came to consensus. And so as a group, I wanted to go over what we came to consensus with first, see if we're still in consensus with the larger group, and then look at the ones that we talked about that we didn't come to consensus. So started out, what we all agreed on is the item 1.6, centralized treasury distribution of allocated funds for schools and interest earned. And I don't know if it's a go there and we want to continue on, or people want to discuss it. I think we have discussed in the past. So
the committee is recommending that we forward this on as an approval from our school board.
That's correct.
Okay. Something that we would support. Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, please continue.
Moving on page 18, 2.14, the pupil transportation. Again, we wanted to forward that on.
Any questions? Thank you.
Moving on, page 21, 2.24, forward funding. And again, we wanted to move that forward. we felt that important. Page 33, the tiered licensure. I didn't have any personal thing for or pro, so I voted with it. Board Member Welton?
My question was whether our school district supported it, because I knew that there were teachers that didn't, and I wondered if there were issues with that, and go ahead and make any comments.
Do you want to take just a second and explain that for folks listening?
I really don't understand the tiered thing, other than beginning teachers have to, they have different hoops to jump through, and that at the third year, it is that they have to be reevaluated, and I know that this was a quite contentious kind of thing, and I didn't know how well the evaluations were done, how it worked. I remember the hoopla of people having to videotape themselves teaching and things like this, and that it was very nerve-wracking and anxiety-producing.
If I can just for a second have administration talk just a little bit about this.
Yes. At this point in time, we have retained in the state of Alaska a tiered licensure, but the idea of a live video that's scored, if you will, in regard to teaching has been removed from the licensure part of it. So we do have tiered licensure for newer folks, and they need to finish Alaska history and a diversity cultural class, and they have a couple years to do that, but the part where there was a video had been removed from the state.
I guess I missed that when that happened. Thank you.
Do you remember the date? Because there's folks that are older that are grandfathered in and don't have to go through that process.
Well, at this point in time, no one has to go through the video process anymore. There was a group for 2 years that had to, and in 2009, it disappeared 2 years ago.
Okay. So the issue is that the committee is supporting this, is what I'm hearing?
The reason it was brought up was that there were just questions about it, to know whether it was worth fighting about or whether it was something that was okay. And I will support it if the administration feels that it's a
non-issue.
Non-issue.
It's okay. A non-issue from administration. Member Lacey.
I would like to know more about the tiered licensure, quite frankly.
Through the President, I'd like to call HR Director Katie Gardner to the front. Without getting into too much detail, the tiered licensure only exists for certification for teachers, for related service providers, for Type Cs, for individuals who have a Type M or an alternative. There doesn't exist the tier. So the tier is only for people who are going to be teaching in the classroom. And there are three tiers, the initial, the professional, and then the master. The initial teacher certificate is what is given to all brand new teachers. And it is a certificate that is valid for 3 years. However, you have to show progress on certain things over that three-year period. So in order to get the first tier, you have to have a bachelor's degree and have taken and passed the Praxis 1, typically. Then over that three-year period, you can either have completed your preparatory program if you haven't completed a teacher program before, or you have to take, as Dr. Paramo indicated, the Alaska Studies and the Alaska Multicultural classes on a list of approved courses. And then you have to take and pass a content area examination, which is referred to as the Praxis 2. Once you've completed those requirements, then you're eligible for a professional certificate. And the professional certificate is the standard 5-year certificate. It has to be renewed every 5 years. In order to renew, you have to take 6 recency credits. The state has reserved the right to mandate, I believe, up to 3 credits. At this time, I don't think they have any credits that they are mandating, but if they believe that an educational technology class was paramount in education in the state of Alaska, they could mandate that up to 3 of the 6 recency credits that are required for the professional certificate renewal. That they could establish what those are required to be. Then a teacher can spend their whole career on the professional certificate, that second tier. However, if they are interested, they can go to the master certificate, the third tier. That is a 10-year certificate, and the way to do that would be to go through the national board
process. If you're a national board teacher, you're eligible for the master's certificate, and it is good for 10 years. It would have to be renewed at that time. It used to be, when the videotapes were in place, that a teacher could go through another process to get that master's certificate, but now that the videotapes aren't working anymore, that's really what they do, is the national board.
Okay. Even with the national, they still have to get the 6 recency credits.
There still are recency requirements in the master's certificate.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is two things. Thank you. What I'm hearing from the committee is two things. One is you were going to take a position on this, but what I'm also hearing now from administration, it's kind of moot or non-issue. Do you still want to take a position on it, or you just want to leave it alone?
I think I'm getting the hint that we just want to leave it alone.
Okay. Okay, just want to make note of that.
Okay.
So that's tiered licensure. Ignore. Go ahead.
And then we're on to page 41, 5.15, relating to post-secondary classes for secondary students. And we were pro that resolution.
Are there any other resolutions or?
Is that right?
Member Welton?
I just wanted to have the clarification, and the administration did clarify the points on that that last one, because there were some issues. I didn't know for sure if we pay for the credits or if the students do, and how that all works, and just trying to sort it out. Would this impact our Early College Alliance or not?
I'm going to let administration answer that.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. We did look into this. The responsibility of the district is to offer the opportunity for the dual credit, and we do that in our workday through CTE. We have college algebra offered now. It would actually fit right with our Early College Alliance. So we offer the dual credit. However, if the student wants the college credit, he or she pays for that him or herself, and it is at a lowered rate that a memorandum of agreement that Mr. DePriest has worked out with our universities. It's at $75 a credit rather than their $350 a credit. And so we can offer that right here, and they can get the college credit during the school day. If they take a tech prepped course, and speaking that tech prep is a course that you can get college credit and high school credit at the same time, and they elect not to do the college credit, that's perfectly fine. Whatever grade they get in the class, they get on that college credit. So that is certainly an incentive. We did add in there that there are states that if the students turn into the state that they make a C or better, the state reimburses the parents. And so certainly that might be something that you'd like.
Thank you. Member Larson.
Quick question on that, to clarify, do they have to, if a student decides to take, say, an advanced English for credit in high school and college, do they have to register with the college to set up a,
through the president? Yes, they do, and it's a one-pager quick form that they fill out right in their English class, and we turn it in for them.
And how's that, usually you have to have a high school diploma in order to go to college. How's that exception made at the college?
The UA system is an open enrollment system, so you do not need a GED or a high school diploma to attend UA.
Member Welton.
I would like people to recognize that this is one of the items on there, whether you weigh in that the district should pay or not pay is the issue here. And that's the it doesn't sunset until 2014, but the AASB believes that students who wish to do so should be allowed to take college credit while they're in high school, but not at the mandated expense of their school districts. And that's the issue when whether do we want to be supportive of that, or do we feel that the school district should be paying for this? That was a question.
Any questions or comments to Member Welton's statement?
Mr. President, we had 1,500 college credits in our school district last year at $75 a shot. That would take a lot of money.
Yeah, what's the math?
So on this particular item, it's we support the concept of college offerings, but we're not supporting at this point a resolution to go to ASB saying we support that the districts pay for that college offering.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. I have a process question for the committee. These are resolutions that you pulled for discussion and that the committee agreed to support and that you're bringing them forward. My question is, okay, that's explain that then to me, please, or to us, please.
We pulled these for discussion. We knew that some of these items here were ones that different members of our school board felt differently on. So we wanted to pull these for discussion. So when we went to AASB, we would know how we are voting on these issues.
So these items were pulled for discussion today, and these will be items that will be up for voting next week, next school board meeting. What about all the other items? Is there an assumption that this board endorses all those other items or does not endorse those other items? There's things like homeschooling. There's other things on. Remember Welton.
The bolded items on the handout sheet are the ones that we know that there's dissent amongst the board members.
Well, and there was dissent even within our small group. So we said agreed to pull it out. And here we are tonight discussing it. So the homeschooling issues and so on, I think we hit upon them. If we missed one or we missed some, I mean, this is a good time for the group to bring it forward.
So one last process question. Member Welton, go ahead, and then I'll...
Those four items that are bolded there were the ones that probably caused the most consternation amongst us. And so those were bolded to be dealt with. At least we would not need to discuss them here tonight, but we need to know that those are ones that you need to, if you need any research done on them, if you want some background stuff, you need to have those ready because those are going to be the ones that we discuss at the next meeting. We can discuss them here tonight, but I don't think, because we can't vote on them tonight, that it's going to do a lot of good. And that's why I bolded those four. The other ones, I just put it in the order by page number and by number.
Right.
And that's why it's the way it is.
Right. And just for you're helping me understand, just so that next meeting, what I'm hearing is these items will be up for one last discussion and then a vote. But then all the other items that the committee elected not to bring to us tonight, how are they to be viewed by us as they go, and how will ASB view our action or inaction on those items? That's just the question I have for the committee. What was your thought on that?
I can say my thought was, I don't know how they're going to view it, but because we did not see the other things as important, we just said we're just not going to deal with them.
Member Welton.
In the past, what we've done is just pull out the ones that we fought about on the board, and I'm using fight as that we couldn't all agree on, and also if there was anything that anybody wanted to bring forward, so we had no new resolutions here, and we have brought resolutions before the board. What we have done in the past is pass the whole thing and then pull out the ones that we couldn't support fully or needed to talk about, and then if they truly were not supported by the board, then we said we passed the resolutions except for, and these things, you know, we cannot support as a board.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from members of the board? I appreciate the work the committee has done. So this will come before us at the next meeting. These items will be on there for us to discuss and vote. Terrific. Thank you. That takes us to item 11, future items, future business.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, Member Welton?
We did not tell the listening audience what four numbers they were, and I do feel that would be something.
Do you want to read
important.
Them off, please?
Page 10, 1.4, maintaining local control of charter school formation, and 1.5 has to do with school vouchers. 1.8, which is on page 11, is accountability and advocacy for students outside the school system. And page 12 is 1.9, the compulsory attendance law. And I believe AASB resolutions, for those who are listening, should be on their website, and you can look those up.
Thank you. Once again, this will come up at our next meeting for action. This takes us to item 11, future items, future business. On September 13th, we have a joint assembly board meeting, assembly chambers. Are we in the process, Superintendent Barmo, of getting the agenda passed to me? So you're getting an agenda for this meeting. It's at 6 p.m. It's on Tuesday, September 13th. And this, once again, is a joint meeting. Okay. Then on September 21st, 6 p.m., regular school board meeting, Palmer High School, Upper Library. Are we missing any future items? Seeing none. This takes us to item 12. Persons to be heard on non-agenda items. This is our last section of the meeting for this item. Once again, the speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by any individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room clear if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour per meeting. Madam Clerk, are there any individuals that have signed up for this session? Are there any individuals in the audience that wish to speak on any non-agenda items as per policy at this time? Seeing none, thank you. This takes us down to item 13, comments from school board members and administration. Let's start with administration.
Mr. Gene Stone.
Well, Dr. Pramer already covered our enrollment, and you know these things. I know they continue to come to the attention of the board, school and class size. As an instruction team, we just continue to work on solutions to make these things better. It is a work in progress, and it will continue to be a work in progress through the year. But I just want to emphasize more than anything that. The solution that some people have put out there sometimes to think that a six-period day would have helped alleviate some of the problems, our class sizes would have been even bigger with a six-period day. So I also want to emphasize that one of the things that the seven-period day does is it, I think part of the reason why some of our kids are coming back is they find some hope in the seven period. We're able to recapture some of those kids because we're able to offer more opportunities for those kids. And so, you know, just a lot of good feedback on our professional development and that we were able to get 2,200 people all together in the same building. And we're still continuing to work closely in developing our RTI process and our PBIS, our positive behavior supports within our middle school and our high school. So we'll continue to direct efforts to those. So that's what we're emphasizing right now.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Mr. Forrest? There's no comments for Mr. Forrest, and I just want to let you know that your ASA pass that you received today is eligible for you to attend any ASA event, whether it be local, statewide, anywhere, as our guest for students. And thank you very much for that. And we hope to see you in the stands.
Thank you. Member McPhail.
I just want to say it was nice being up here again.
Excuse me? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. It's nice having you here. Members of the board, Member Larson.
Yes. On our persons to be heard, when you mentioned to Dr. Larson that speak up to the microphone because it's being recorded, the people in the back who had just spoke were shocked. They didn't know they were on radio, and they didn't know they were being recorded. And looking at the agenda, there's nothing that indicates that we're on radio or on recorded. And it was just kind of a funny thing to me to see how shocked they were. And I don't know if we should put it somewhere on the agenda somewhere that the school board is on the radio and it is being recorded. Just a suggestion. I don't know. It was just kind of, if you saw them, you shocked that poor lady. I don't know if she would have spoke. I don't know, you know. So, but it's not down here at all. Maybe it's
so. Do you think, Member Larson, just asking that if it was placed on the agenda item,
or on an agenda somewhere, you know, saying that?
I mean, on the agenda itself.
It's on the agenda itself.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. So, administration, if you could think that through and maybe place it appropriately. Member Gaddis.
Yes, I just want to comment on the back-to-school program. After I fell for Dr. Paramo's great program that she had going previous to hiking Crow Creek Pass, I'm serious, that was an excellent program. And it was exciting to be in the building where I could feel the excitement of the teachers and the employees that worked there. So, I mean, it really felt like a true pep rally for our school district, and you did a good job. So thank you.
Member Pauser.
I don't have any comments today.
Member Welton.
I've done some school visits and open houses, and I won't bore you with all the details, but it's good to go out and see the kids and see the work that's being done in the school. I've saw some really fascinating mobiles that were made in, believe, a fifth-grade class out at Knick. I could be wrong about the grade, but they were really fantastic. I enjoyed the opening day. I stayed longer than I had intended to because it was so fantastic. And we are a talented district that people can come up with words to those old songs, and we all know the tunes and be so invigorated by it and feel like, you know, that it's so important. I think our students would be really shocked to see all of our teachers doing those things, and maybe we ought to have a spirit day for the teachers to get out and do their thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Lacey.
Tomorrow we are meeting with the after-school activities program, and hopefully I will have a report for you at the next meeting. The other day, my daughter had some of her friends over at her house, and I asked them if they thought about our school lunches. They don't like to eat them. So I thought, since we are a board who decides what goes on in this district, I think at least at one board meeting, we should have the same food served to us that the children are eating. Well, I mean what I ate up at Talkeeton School a while back and some of the pizzas and things that are served at our school. I think we need to see how the other half lives. So, thank you.
Thank you. Member Cordero.
I want to echo Member Gaddis's comments. It was a great opening day ceremony. I enjoyed speaking that day. And I could sense that people were really excited to be back to school and, you know, get moving forward. So congratulations on that. That was a great event and highly organized. Thank you.
Thank you. And just briefly, again, I want to echo what many of the members of the board have said, and that's I think we've got we are well on our way to being the best school district in the state of Alaska. I think in many areas we are right now. I think we've got very talented teachers, classified folks, administration, and I want to thank Dr. Paramo for, losing Dr. Burnley, this district under your administration has not missed a beat, and that's, I think, a tribute to his work and your work as well, and I want to thank you and your administration for starting off a terrific year. And I've got extremely high expectations and hopes, and appreciate the work that everyone's doing. So with that, I don't believe there's any reason for us to go into executive session unless I'm missing something. So is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Is there a second? Motion made by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Powager. And seeing no dissent, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.